human government and God's judgment. After watching the Democrat convention and then the selection of the vice president nominee for McCain, everybody's talking about that, so I thought it would be good if we would look in the Bible and see about human government and how God interacts with the human government and what kind of leaders we get. So let's just do a little review in the book of Genesis. Now we know God created Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, showed them the two trees that he created, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. Now, when you look at the whole event that took place, let's understand what we're talking about here. Let's come to Genesis 3 and verse 22. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to decide good and evil. Now, most translations have to know, at which I have a reference here with the star in the center column, lower part, to know, to ascertain by observing and experimenting. So why did I translate it decide? Because when you look at the whole overall experience that they went through, that's what it really was. Because you can't say that Adam and Eve knew good and evil and sinned, and God knows good and evil and didn't sin. You'd have to apply one to the other. We also have in Isaiah, God says, I create good and I create evil. Now, the evil is the automatic penalty that God gives with every law. Whether it's just the law of physics and you're walking down the steps and you fall and hurt yourself, the law of gravity is the evil in that case because you broke it by falling. So likewise, you take any one of the commandments of God, there is an automatic penalty that takes place. Sometimes it's discernible, sometimes it's not. For example, people who break the Sabbath do not discern that they're breaking the Sabbath because they're involved in many activities of self and of the world, so their mind is not on it, and the penalty that they receive automatically is that they're cut off from God, and they don't have access to God in the way that those who have God's Spirit and keep the Sabbath do. So we need a comparison. But when you get to the fifth commandment about honoring your father and mother, you're really not dealing with a commandment that is to your neighbor, because your children and parents are not neighbors. The parents are to the children instead of God until they become of the age of accountability. So that's why that commandment there, the fifth commandment, goes back with the first four, rather than with the last six. Then you have the one concerning murder. There's always a penalty for that, and the penalty is what? We'll see how God gave the penalty later, that it is to be death. And you have the one adultery. There's always a penalty. Always lying, cheating, stealing, sexually transmitted diseases. Those are all evil. So when God says he creates good and evil, that does not make God evil, but if you have something that is good and you give choice whether you're going to keep those commandments or not, then you have to have a penalty to enforce the good and to bring people to their senses when they come to the point of how should we say, getting their lives so messed up that they realize something is really wrong and return back to God. So in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they decided to eat. They decided to find out for themselves what was good and evil rather than believing God who decides what is good and evil. So that's why I translated it that way. But what we have here in Genesis 2 and 3 with the whole account is that the government of God was directly from God to Adam and Eve. And when they sinned and decided that they wanted to determine for their own selves what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was evil, then it put them out of the jurisdiction of God's government by one step of removal. They could not go back into the Garden of Eden. Now, if they would come to God, which they could at the east entrance, because I think that's where God met with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel to talk with them, and they would obey in the letter of the commandments of God. So the original government is from God to man. So man decided, I want to choose my own way. So God is removed by one step. Then when you come to Cain, he even removed further. And Cain shows the worst of human nature, which is this. He's going to do it his way and expects God to accept it his way. That's why it talks about the way of Cain back there in the book of Jude. See? And so he was another step further removed from the government of God, because after killing his brother Abel, he was exiled to the land of wandering. Well, you know the whole story of what happened. Let's come here to Genesis 6 and we'll see the summary of it. What happens when men and women cut themselves off from God and do not want the government of God in their lives? Now, I think it's maybe kind of fitting that we're following up with the ones that we did, what is the government of God within the church, that it eventually all gets back to God. And the closer that you come to God, and the more you let God and his ways rule in your life, the better off you're going to be, whether you are converted or whether you are not converted. Because as we will see, God expects people to obey in the letter of the law, and he makes judgments in their lives and in nations according to the letter of the law in how they keep the commandments of God to the best of their knowledge. Now, please understand this. They are not being judged to salvation. The judgment they are under is, will they be in the second resurrection, or will they be in the resurrection to the lake of fire? Now, here in Genesis 6, things really got terrible. And we know that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis 6 and verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now, there are only two times that this is happening. Days of Noah and our days. So that's why human nature responding to Satan turns out the same thing. And when daughters were born to them, that the sons of the mighty one saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, they took wives for themselves from all whom they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man in his going astray. In other words, since every human being has the spirit of man in them, the human spirit, when people go astray, when people sin, it not only affects the individual lives, but it also affects God, because he gave the spirit and he created human beings. And of course it's going to affect God, and it's going to affect God's judgment. So here's the result of rejecting God as their ruler and judge. Here we have 1,500 and some odd years after the creation of Adam and Eve. So what he did was restrict the age that men would live to be. So from that time forward, the age of men began to go down, 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 down. And even today, it is rare to find someone who lives over 100 rarer 110, and I don't think that there are very, very many that reach 120. I do recall reading about, and I forgot where I read about it, an Englishman who lived to be 157 years old. And he just ate all of his own food, had his own little garden out there, and he outlived 20 kings. It was 157, 152, I forget now. And the king who was ruling when he became 152 invited him over to the palace to celebrate his birthday, and he ate the king's fare and died 3 days later. Reminds you a little bit about Daniel. Okay, so that's something. So he said, for he is but flesh. But I tell you something, even though human beings are flesh, they think they're almighty. They think they're going to go through everything and somehow live forever. And people get all upset when people get old and die and wail and scream and moan and groan and all of this sort of thing, forgetting that the Bible says there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Now, when you're young, you don't think about dying. The older you get, the more you realize, yes, there is a day coming. And as you look in the mirror and you see a little wrinkle here and there, a little gray here and there, and as you go year after year, hair falls out, more gray shows up, more wrinkles occur, the body doesn't work quite as fast, the joints creak and all this sort of thing, and the internal organs don't produce what they ought to and all of this sort of thing, see? And then we come to the realization, yes, I'm gonna die. But when you're young, you never think about it. You think you're going to live forever. Now, verse 4. I'll let you read the footnote there, which explains about it. Verse 4. There were tyrants, regardless of the size of them. Do we have giants today? Yes, we do. All you have to do is watch an NBA basketball game, and you know there are giants. On the earth in those days, and also after that, the sons of God, who were really men, not angels. But you see, why is it that the Jews insist that these were fallen angels and don't understand that they were men? Because God didn't give the answer to it until the New Testament, when Jesus said the angels do not marry or are given in marriage. So they have this lying mythology that these were fallen angels. Well, listen, if righteous angels can't produce offspring nor marry, what makes you think that fallen angels have that ability? They don't. So they came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were mighty men who existed of old, men of renown. And all of these men were the ones who replaced the government of God. All you have to do is just kind of think, look around the world. Look at the leaders. Look at the ones in charge. Look at how that they run their countries, run their lives, and the people who live under them. And you will see exactly the same thing going on here. And when you have men and women multiplying on the earth, what happens? Verse 5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Do we have that today? Yes. So the question is, when you look at this election, how much righteousness in the letter of the law is God going to recognize, and is there enough to keep us from going over the edge with a completely wrong leader who is probably highly Marxist and dictatorial? That's the question. We can't answer it because only God knows the hearts. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't think it isn't a good time. or that it's not exciting. But let's take Friday night and Saturday football games, since the college season is just starting up. Do all those kids have a good time? Oh, they think it's a ball. And what also happens with this, they're breaking the Sabbath. How many then are involved in illicit sex? How many are also involved in drugs? How many are involved in just the excitement of it? And are they honoring God when their heroes are the great football players or basketball players? No, but people not understanding the good and evil from God's command, and they decide to make a judgment for themselves what is good and evil. They can't discern what is really good and evil unless it is some serious disease or there's an accident or there's a death or there's something like that. Then they can say, oh my, how did this happen? See? But God sees it from an entirely different point of view. So here's the answer, verse 6. Sin not only affects human beings, it affects God. Verse 6, and the Lord repented that he made man on the earth. A little lower than God with the choice, with abilities, with capacities. Near God-like things. And when you hear the sermons for the Feast of Tabernacles, day 3 and 4, I read in a book called Singularity is Near, where men are thinking that with technology and with machines and with computers that man is going to live a whole lot longer and he's going to have a whole much greater, wonderful life. And the man who wrote it was Ray Kurzweil, or is Ray Kurzweil, because he's still alive. And I spend day 3 and 4 doing a lot of reading out of his book. That's why for those days, you need to have the transcript for it, and we'll send it to you who have ordered the CDs. You may have to make other copies if other people are going to be with you. But man thinks, oh, we're going to make ourselves better. We're going to improve ourselves. We don't need God. And Ray Kurzweil is an agnostic. When Glenn Beck asked him, well, do you believe in God? He says, well, no, let's not go there. And he says, you're agnostic then. And he says, yes. Okay. And then, this is why I bought the book, to give sermons on it. Then Glenn Beck said, how are you going to solve the problem of evil? He says, well, we haven't got that figured out yet. Well, if you're going to magnify all this good, are you not then going to magnify all the evil? And the ultimate thing that they want to do is have you hooked up so that you have a master computer at home that you can Wi-Fi to directly, or when you come home, what you do, you automatically back up all your thoughts for that day. That'd be good for a police investigation, wouldn't it? Were they planning this bank robbery? Let's go to his computer and find out. So repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Now, when evil reaches a certain point of intensity, God must intervene to do something, because he's ruler of all, and all government ultimately comes from God. So the Lord said, verse 7, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the crawling thing, and the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them. Now that's something, isn't it? Here God starts out with this great plan, but he gives Adam and Eve choice. They choose the wrong thing. Instead of really repenting and saying, okay, God, we'll live the best way that we can with your laws, no, they embrace Satanism like Cain did. And so here's what had happened. Here's what happened. So we see the same thing today. Why don't you do this? The next time you're doing your channel surfing to avoid all these pornographic ads and ED ads, take a look at all the different ads, all the different movies, and ask the question, is this really good, or is this apparently good, but really evil? And how many movies are based upon lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, robbery, and so forth? Think of it. Okay? Now, we'll just summarize the rest of it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations, for Noah walked with God. That means that Noah and Enoch and Abel and Seth, in walking with God, placed their lives under the government of God and not under the government of men, though they had to live in the world as we do today. See? Though we obey the laws of the land, we are under the government of God in our lives directly, and we are under the government of men because they are the servants of God. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, verse 11. Now, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Do we have that today? Everywhere. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and there shall be pestilence and earthquakes in different places, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And I only heard it on the news at 4 o'clock in the morning because I was up, but Russia said if the United States puts their defense missiles in Poland, they're going to declare war on Europe. You haven't heard that again. But you see, that's how men are. They're arrogant and think that they are all supreme. But they're not, and their breath could go just like that. So this is what happens. And we know at the end that's exactly what's going to happen. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Then he commanded him to make an ark, etc. Now let's come here to chapter 8, because then we see a change in government beginning in chapter 9. But let's come here to chapter 8. And verse 15, this is after they made it safely through. And the flood covered the whole earth. It wasn't just in one little valley. It was the whole earth by 15 cubits. And 15 cubits then is 22 feet on average. Now you have to have a mighty powerful breather to last on top of a mountain for a whole year and be able to get enough air, 22 feet, so you can survive the flood. But I don't think anyone would, because notice, when he destroyed all flesh, he didn't destroy the fish. So the sharks and all of the flesh-eating, things in the ocean had a feast for a whole year. So he said, verse 16, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And bring out with you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, of fowl, of livestock, of every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth, so that they may breed abundantly in the earth and may be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Now that must have been something after being cooped up in the ark. God opens it up and says, come on out. You look out, there's the earth again. And every animal and every fowl and every crawling thing, all that crawls upon the earth after their families went forth out of the ark. Now let's just stop here and put in a little note for all evolutionists. Since God is creator, has he quit creating today? Well, we know there's a spiritual creation that he's doing in each one of us, correct? Since he gave life to all, male and female, is not everything that is reproduced God's creation? So God is still creating through the process of procreation, isn't he? Now let's ask the question concerning what evolutionists call the evolutionary changes. Can God at any time cause birds to have longer beaks, shorter wings, variations? Men like to say natural variation or natural selection. But how does that naturally occur? And how much is it that God actually did the extended creation, a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there, etc.? Now, verse 20, and Noah built an ark to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal. Did they have the laws of clean and unclean meats then? Yes. Now, if you want to know how bad eating unclean food is, you go online, if you're on the internet, and you look up the eating shanties in China, in Beijing, and you will see the assortment of the most terrible things you would ever want to eat, snakes and lizard legs, etc., 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 see? And God gave the law of clean and unclean meats from the beginning so that men would know right from wrong. And God will not accept an unclean animal as a sacrifice to him. And he took of every clean animal, every clean bird, because they were paired by seven pairs. All the unclean were by single pair. And offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And you can see it even in little children, can't you? Fight over toys. Have arguments. Temper tantrums. See, because human nature is evil by nature, from birth, though it's not developed until later in life. And if it is corrected and trained, it will minimize the evil, and if it's not, it will maximize the evil. So just understand that, okay? From his youth, he says, although it's that way, I'm going to be merciful, I'll just add in here, and I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And it's always been that way. Now here comes a change of government. Before the flood, God lived in the Garden of Eden. He was the one who was judge and administered his government on earth. The righteous ones of the line of Abel and Seth came to the Garden of Eden to meet with God. The ones of Cain were left upon their own, and so everything that follows in breaking the laws of God occurred. Now let's see the change in the government of God. Verse 9. From this point on, God no longer dwells on the earth in the Garden of Eden, because the Garden of Eden was destroyed with the flood. God resides in heaven. Now he's going to control the world by his angels. We can read that in Hebrews, the second chapter, that the world that now is given in charge of the angels, and you can read that in Daniel 9 and Daniel 10, etc. Now here, verse 5. And surely the blood of your lives I will require. At the hand of every animal I will require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood shall be shed by man. This is the administration of death to all sovereign nations. God gave authority for the death penalty for the governments of men. Now, this can be good if properly applied with God's laws, or it can be evil when you get a tyrant who wipes out everybody that he decides to kill. So here's a change in the government of God. Now he gives man responsibility. You want to sin? You want to lead evil lives? All right. You administer the penalty of death for those who commit crimes worthy of death. It's your responsibility. Now, if you don't, then you're going to suffer the consequences of that also. Now, stop and think for a minute. What happened in Iraq when we invaded Iraq? All of a sudden, they couldn't take care of the prisoners in prison, right? So what did Saddam Hussein do? You're all free. Opened the doors, and they all went out. And they created a lot of havoc even within their own population as well. Now stop and think. What will happen in America if that ever happens here with 3 million lifers? Dedicated criminals. And it may happen here. What if the governments go bankrupt and they can no longer take care of them? They can't pay the guards. They can't pay the electricity. They can't feed them. They can't clothe them. They can't house them. Just going to lock them up and let them all die? So I suggest you watch MSNBC on their prison series when they're talking about the hardened criminals. And they interview them, and you know how absolutely set on evil and death, murder, and destruction that these people are. So if it ever comes a time of God's judgment against us because we didn't execute them the way that God said they should be, for murder, for pedophilia, for kidnapping, all crimes worthy of death, they should have been executed by the civil governments. Because here he gave them the authority. Right? And human beings are corrupt, so what happens? You have corrupt judges, corrupt police, corrupt prosecutors, so they actually convict innocent people and put them in jail. That's the risk of getting rid of God and the right kind of judgment, see? And that's what happens. And especially if a dictator gets in. If you don't agree with him, you're gone. Seeing the governments fail because they do not have the fear of God, number one, which if they did, there would be far fewer innocent people convicted, and they would not allow corrupt judges, they would not allow corrupt prosecutors, they would, and also corrupt defense attorneys that will make all kinds of excuses which are absolutely ridiculous and not true. So all of those are wrapped up in here. So if you want to go your way, here's the government. You do it. Your responsibility. For he is made in the image of God. And then you can read the rest of it. He made a covenant with all the rest of his creation on earth and said he wouldn't flood it again. All right, let's come here to chapter 10. Now let's see what happens when you get a few generations removed from the flood, and everything is more normal appearing to human beings. Babies are being born, and families are expanding, and so forth. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 8. Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth, a hero. Everyone looked to him. See, and Nimrod replaced God. And that's the ultimate thing that happens. Government becomes the God of the society rather than God and then the government. Now, in America and Britain, we've had more in our history of God and government under God and people obeying God, then you have had, say, in Russia or China or Africa or South America, etc. But still, that doesn't mean that there is not corruption even within that system, because man, the imagination of man is always evil all the time. And if you don't think that is so, how many evil thoughts pass through your mind in a day? Whether initiated by you or coming by television or by seeing something. It's there all the time. That's why we need repentance every day. Let's go on here. He was a mighty hunter against the Lord. Because what he said, if you will read some of the other historical accounts, he said, I will protect you from the wild animals, but you must submit to me. And eventually that became, they worshipped him and his wife Semiramis. Against the Lord, therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter, against the Lord, or in place of the Lord. Now you see, when you get godless men in power, or men who profess to have some sort of religion but really don't, then you have a government that is corrupt from the top down, and through every level of society, it begins to filter down and down and down and down and down and down. So here is the first real tyrannical government rebelling against God, repeat of the Garden of Eden. See, mighty hunter against the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter against the Lord. And the beginning of his tower was Babel, or Babylon. And that is the system that has pervaded the whole earth from that time until now, with the exception of the children of Israel that God called out of Egypt, beginning in with bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And that goes back to the covenant of Abraham, which we won't get into here. Beginning of his kingdom, or his government, was Babel, Ekron, Akkad, Calne, in the land of Shinar. And what immediately happens with men who want power? They've got to control, they've got to conquer, they've got to steal, they've got to take the spoil, correct? Yes. Out of that land, he went forth to Assyria, and he built Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth, Calah, etc. And then it gives the genealogy from there. Now then, chapter 11 tells us how bad it got. Now remember, this is only like five generations after the flood. Now five generations, you know, that's not very long if you say, generation then was 25 years, that's 125 years removed from the flood. But you know, our nation has been in existence a little over 200 years, and what memory of is there of it going back to its origin? Well, what they have today, they're trying to expunge as much as it is possible so they can bring in a godless dictatorial government here in America. And that's the crossroads and the balance that we are hanging in right now with this election, as we will see. Now, here's how bad it got. And there are indications that when it says, as it was in the days of Noah, you have two periods of the days of Noah. Before the flood and after the flood. Because Noah lived 350 years after the flood. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. We have it again today, computer language and English mostly. And it came to pass as they traveled from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, let's burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a city and a tower with its top reaching into the heavens. Sound like a little bit today? What are we doing? Exploring the heavens, right? They want to send men to Mars. That'll be interesting. Question was, did they understand that God was up above the clouds? Yes. Well, who has always wanted to go above the clouds and conquer God? Satan the devil. Who is inspiring all of this? Satan the devil. Because you see, the truth is, if you take yourself out from under the government of God, Who do you accept? Who then becomes your ruler? Satan. Now, he may not be right there at your side. He may not even be anywhere near you, but he's called the God of the world, the prince of the power of the air. And if you take yourself out from underneath the government of God, he's got you. He doesn't have to come and do anything right away. Just wait. Just wait. Your own lust and your own sins will catch up with you, and then he can drag you down more and more and further, you see. The people don't understand that. So then you know what God had to do. He had to scatter them because they were on the verge that anything that they imagined to do would not be restrained. Let's come here to verse 6. And the Lord said, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. And how many times do you hear? You can be anything you want to be. All right, are you going to do it lawfully God's way? Or are you going to do it Satan's way? Let's go to the moon. Oh, we've been there. Well, let's go to Mars. Well, we're getting close to going there. Now they're trying to solve the problem of how men can travel in space and get to Mars. Live on the moon. But they're always going to have problems. What do you breathe? What do you eat? And how do you get rid of the garbage and refuse? Very important problem. Let's go to the next track, please.